Passion, drive, and patience. The formula of winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything for you to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED lights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has it covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices that you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP it needs to be and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Again, ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. You know, summer is coming, the sun is shining, shirts are off, and your balls are smooth. You heard me right. Your friends at Manscaped, they're here to make sure that your beach balls are as smooth as the Floridian sand, my friends. In the summertime, you know, you want to kill some cold beers and some barbecues, not kill the vibe with your pubes peeking out of your swim trunks. That's why Manscaped has their Performance Package 4.0. That's to keep the party in your pants, my friend, looking crisp and refreshing all summer long. 4 million men have trusted Manscaped. Why shouldn't you? It all starts and stops by going to manscaped.com and get 20% off and free shipping if you use my promo code Bubba. The Manscaped Performance Package 4.0 has everything that you need to prepare for that summer bod. Inside this package, you're going to find the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Reviver toner, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold it all, my friends. You want to take your grooming game even further? Take a look at the Manscaped Shears 2.0. In that package, it has everything that you need to look pristine. Nail cutters, tweezers, grooming scissors. Go to manscaped.com and go crazy. They got everything you potentially possibly could need. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code Bubba at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code Bubba at manscaped.com. This is the summer to turn your package into the full package, my friend. And it all starts and stops at Manscaped. Listen, I have had my Manscaped stuff now for about a year. I don't know what I would do without it. As a matter of fact, I've now got all my co-hosts on the Manscaped deal. All the male co-hosts on my show have almost everything Manscaped offers. Why wouldn't you? Reduce the risk of ingrown hairs. You reduce the risk of grooming accidents. Again, all of this craziness starts and stops at manscaped.com. Use promo code Bubba for 20% off.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Blummel Off the Rails. It's Friday. Thank God. Welcome to the program. I know. It occurred to me as I was saying it's Friday, how close Friday is to Monday. And it made me a little sad for a second. Because you go, oh, it's Friday, it's so great, but you're actually closer to Monday than you would be on like a, well, maybe not. It's nice. Friday's my favorite day of the week. I say this every time because, you know, the possibilities are endless for the weekend. What will I do? What won't I do? How much will I sleep?
You're going to go watch a baseball game.
I'm going to go watch a baseball game against my, no, I'm just kidding. I'm very excited about this, mostly because I have a cute outfit planned. That's pretty much it. So I'm motivated to go. I'm motivated to see the people. I'm motivated to see the sports that no one is going to be watching because nobody watches baseball anyways, let alone, I imagine, you know.
True.
Minor league. But that's not the point. It's just, it's really a backdrop to the good times that we will be had in the air-conditioned box, eating hot dogs and chicken tenders and French fries and beers and other sorts of adult beverages. It's just going to be a good time. And we rarely get together as a full team with our fans in a situation where everyone can have a good time. Kids are going to be there, not dance kids, but other children, infants. My friend's coming, bringing her her toddler. So it's going to be it's going to be a fun time. I'm excited for it. And we got Bubba 199 tonight, so that's good too. I hope people enjoy my playlist, because I really try to tailor it to, you know, what people say about the one prior. So they go, oh man, I wish this one had more hip hop. So I try to incorporate more hip hop. And then Bubba's mm-hmm. like, oh, I wish I had more of the EDM stuff. I like the EDM. And then I put the EDM and I go, it sucks. And then I go, okay. So I got some help with this one. I got a few recommendations.
Not from me.
Not from you, no. Otherwise it would just be all Rush.
Nobody wants to hear Rush.
Right. That's all he listens to. Actually, it's not. I actually don't even know what kind of music you like. Because I've never given you the opportunity.
I like all kinds of music.
Michael McDonald and Rush. That's all I know.
Dream Theater?
Dream Theater, right. So I got a few recommendations.
Although new Dream Theater sucks, and I've heard the old Dream Theater so many times, so I don't listen that much.
And you said Dream Theater was a song that Kevin would play frequently, right?
No, actually.
Or is it a...
Dream Theater's a band.
It's a band, right. Okay.
But I don't think Kevin's ever played it.
Oh, I thought he had for some reason. Is it like a rock? I don't even know what it is, actually.
It's, progressive rock.
Okay. There's none of that. But I got some recommendations from my roommate who sent me, she's like, listen, I thought I'd just send you some stuff. You can use it or not use it. But if you want to use it, that's fine. So I kind of like listened to it and I'm like, well, see, when people do that, especially when they're your actual friend, mm-hmm. you're in this weird position where you don't want to be rude and be like, this sucks.
Especially when they're going to be there.
They're going to be there, and they're going to kind of be low-key expecting at least one of their suggestions to pop up.
Absolutely.
So, you know, you don't want to be rude and not include it, but also, it like, one of them was okay, so I threw it in there, no big deal. And, you know, I'll take advice from the people, but this is really, you know, I feel like not that it's all about me or anything like that, but I don't want to listen to songs about students that have been shot in Ohio. Like, that brings down the mood. I don't want to, not that that was a recommendation at all, but like, I wasn't sure where she was going when she said she had a few songs. She's like, I have some oldies. I'm like, I don't want to fucking jam to oldies. Like, that's not where, and not that I'm shaking my ass, and yeah, maybe we should let Reagan Taylor it a little bit more because she's a bit more of an interactive dancer than I am. But here's the thing about me is I actually am a dancer. Not like a trip or anything. I did dance growing up, but what I mean is, like, when I'm at the club, which has not been in a very long time, I participate. I'm dancing. But knowing that there's a camera in front of my face makes me feel weird.
Yeah.
So, and I can't really, not that I'm putting on an act or anything like that, but I'm known for being like quirky and weird and offbeat, not like super sexual. Not that I dance super sexually, but you know, it's not that I'm being serious, but like, I'm taking myself serious when I'm dancing. I'm not doing it in like a joke jest type fashion, so it's just weird because I don't feel like the audience would be weirded out. I would be weirded out, but so I kind of like to just bop around in my seat. Like, that's when I'm having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no Delta nothing ever again. Just straight drinks. That's fine with me. Bopping around, listening to music.
I'm trying to decide if I'm going to Delta it up tonight.
Well, be careful. Stay away from that Delta 8.
No, it's stuff I know what it does.
Right, right. Well, that could be fun for you. It seems like you might be able to handle yourself better than me. mm-hmm. Not me. Not but never
usually,
again.
Usually the plan in my head is, get here if the nachos are cooking, which they will be. Get here a little bit earlier, get a bite to eat, get everything set up, make sure it's good, and then like go live. And then once we're up and live, like then I'm like, okay, well then I could sneak out and do whatever I need to do, mm-hmm. you know, to get my mind right.
Right, right.
But usually what happens is I do all that, I go live, and then like the show ends at 10 something, and I go, oh, I still haven't gone outside yet.
Just because you are feeling like you need to be there, or you're kind of just having a good time in the moment.
Both.
And you don't really want to leave because there's a lot of fun action, people dancing, people falling,
mm-hmm.
people drinking excessively, people freaking out because they took, you know, ate too many edibles, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
Bubble 199 is probably the thing I look forward to the most around here. I love it.
A lot of the participants will party before the show starts, which I completely get. I just can't because I don't want to be not in the right state of mind and have things not work.
Yeah.
So
you need to be sharp in case there a problem arises.
Yeah.
And you need to just be on your game. That's understandable. And that's actually responsible. And we appreciate that. So thank you very much. 813-90-BUBBA. I'm so excited and nervous for Kevin.
Me too.
I can tell he's not unwell, but it's the stress, the hype, the anxiety, the excitement is not getting to him, but it's crunch time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the election is on Tuesday.
Yep.
And I mean, he's probably been thinking about this for a long time. And, you know, I think he announced it right around BARP, right before BARP, maybe right after that he was running. No, because he got on stage and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But that was 8 months ago of just, you know, nonstop campaigning, meeting with people, networking, and not just networking, like he said, with big wigs and sheriffs and people like that, movers and shakers, but he's calling like the people. He's talking to the people.
You have to.
Absolutely. So it's really time consuming, and it's not even like the campaign. Obviously, that's his focus. But he's also got a family. He's also got his business. He's also got, you know, his rentals. He's got a lot of things on his plate. So, you know, I could just tell there was just like a nervous, excited energy about him.
Yes.
And I feel like if I were Kevin, I would just want Tuesday to come and go. You know, either way.
I agree.
You know, whether you win or lose, you're just like, let's just get it over with. Please, God. But much like Bubba said, if he wins on Tuesday, it's like that was just round 1A, you know what I mean?
Because
then you got to run for the Congress, then you're in Congress, then maybe, you know, run for re-election. So it's just like this never-ending process that you just kind of get sucked into. But I'm so excited. I'm so angry that I'm not in District 13.
I know.
That I got booted out.
When I found out, I was like, oh, she's going to be so mad.
And I looked up online. It looks like the redistricting happened in like 2020, or did it just take effect this year?
Took effect this year.
Okay. Yeah.
They changed districts a lot, but the for Kevin's race, it was this year.
Yeah, that was super annoying because I changed my political affiliation, which wasn't hard or anything like that, but I was excited. I have the shirt. I know Kevin. I worked with Kevin. It's, you know, I want to do my part, and the very least and well the most I could do was vote for him. That's like whole point.
Yeah.
So I really wanted to support him, but unfortunately, you know, if I was living a few miles west, I would be able to vote for him.
And by them redistricting it, I can now vote for him.
Yeah.
Whereas before I couldn't.
Right. So there you go. The trade off was you got Blitz instead of me. So one for one. Mm-hmm. But it was really annoying. And I had to tell my roommate as well because she did the same thing. I said, hey, a few months ago, I'm like, have you registered a Republican? We got to get her boy in. And she did. And she's been telling, you know, her friends, which is great.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I think, you know, everyone just got districted out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really annoying. But politics is it's one of those things that I like learning about from afar, but I don't think that I could ever partake in because I don't have I'm not good corporately, and I guess you know you could say well Trump wasn't either, but like Trump had other chops, you know what I mean? You can't just go and be in like a bull in a china shop, but you know you're not a business person, you're not a billionaire like someone like me or something. But I love learning about politics. But even more so, and here's the thing about politics that I love and that other people love but also hate is the cronyism, is the nepotism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people get all upset about the Hunter Bidens, and people get upset about Paul Pelosi Jr. going to Taiwan. They're like, this is outrageous. It's like, is it though? Because those are the perks, buddy. Like, what did you think?
It's a perk, and it's also outrageous. It's both.
It is, but it's like, it's outrageous when, you know, maybe you're taking your son to Taiwan and risking American lives by pissing off China because you want your son to get in a few business deals. Like, that's a little ridiculous.
Of course.
But the fact that people are, you know, the fact that Trump was giving Ivanka Trump, I forget exactly what her official title was, but like part of the not cabinet, but you understand, chief of staffs. Who knows? Do you understand? Yeah. He employed his daughter. You see what I'm saying? And the fact that people are surprised by this or even like upset by it.
Well, hold on.
Confuses me.
No, I think you said it right though. You said that the fact that people are surprised by it, they shouldn't be surprised by it. It's okay to be upset because it's not right. But you should know that it's been going on and you should not be surprised by it.
It's like, this is also coming from the same people that talk to their friends and be like, hey, can you give my kid a job? Mm-hmm. These are the people who, you know somebody who can get your ass into the VIP section. Like, that's how people operate. Yeah, it's obviously more extravagant, the more power you obtain, the more levers you can pull for your friends and family. But nevertheless, it's the same principles, the same concepts apply. And the fact that people, like you said, are surprised by it, it's like, that's exactly who, of course, if I was in power, of course I'd be giving like my best friend Aaron some fucking perks. Like, hey, let's go on the Lolita Express too. Let's go have some fun. Why wouldn't I do that?
I hope you wouldn't call it that, but okay.
Why not?
Look, whatever.
The Lolita Express 2. That's what I would do. That's what everyone would do, you know? And then it's the fact that people are like, oh, I can't believe this cronyism. It's like, oh, they just gave it to their friend. Yeah, no shit. Because the friend helped them get into a position of power. Politics takes an extreme, and I was talking to Jay about this. He was talking about something about the balance of power. I'm like, what do you, everybody knows better. There's, the only way that you, a single person, can get into a position of power, whether it be politics, whether it be being a CEO, whether, you know, working your way up or whatnot, whether it be being a celebrity, you know, people aren't self-made ever. They are discovered by someone else who yields and wields a bunch of power and decides to bring that person into their circle for some benefit that they can, you know, bestow upon them. You are an agent, a talent scout, whatever, looking for a talented singer, musician. You find them in a bar. You make them famous. You're not making them famous because you're a good guy or gal. You're doing it because you're like, man, this person is talented and they can generate a lot of revenue for me.
Right.
That's how that works. So, and politics is no different. You know, so you, in order to get into, and the more, the higher position of power you get into, the more cooperation it entails with the people around you, your inner circle. You know, some people donated to your campaign. Well, you know, you're going to have to pay that debt back in some capacity, whether it's with legislation, whether it's with, you know, quid pro quo sort of deal, or maybe you're giving their kid a position at the table, whatever the case may be, it's like, that's how it works. How else is it supposed to work? I don't know. And so when people think that, you know, and especially like America, you think about corruption around the world, like I would say we're one of the least corrupt countries in the world. Again, but corruption exists everywhere. You're never going to get rid of it because people are people and we just kind of abide by certain basic rules, which is you help the people that help you. And sometimes those people aren't good people and then you run into problems, but that's inevitable. So fuck it. Just enjoy your pizza, you know, hang out with friends, drink and drive and call it a day. 813-90-BUBBA. Let's take a phone call. Hello, who's this?
Blummo, it's Florida Stanley. What's up?
What's up, dude? What's the status on your fingers? Can you feel them yet?
It's always going to be the same, probably.
Oh, so we've kind of reached the pinnacle of your mobility and feeling? Okay.
The doctor said, if it goes away, great. If not, well, then just deal with it for the rest of your life.
What does it feel like? It's just like a tingling numbness or...
When your hands fall asleep. Both mine feel like that all the time.
That's horrible. That's an awful feeling.
It was so annoying for the first couple of weeks, and then now I just got used to it. And like, if I touch something weird, it stings a little bit,
like zing.
Just for a split second.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's too bad you have any feeling at all.
I told you I did the what?
It's too bad you have any feeling at all.
Oh, I know. Then I could just give myself perma strangers.
Exactly.
Oh well. I told you guys I did the Corsa rally.
Yes.
So there's like 15 to 20 guys that still have all their stickers on their car that are local to the Tampa area. And I'm going to be driving up from Fort Myers. We're going to be at the car show tomorrow. They're giving us our own designated area for the Corsa cars that still have their stickers on it.
Okay.
So I'm sure trying to find your 6'4" ass won't be hard to do. I'll see if I can walk around and find you. And
yeah,
is Dan going to be there?
Who, Dan?
Yeah, didn't you say you're meeting Dan there?
Yeah, yeah, he'll be there for a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, we'll I'll be parked with all the Corsa cars. I got the black Jag.
Okay.
So, yeah, if I can find you, I'll come say hi.
Cool. Yeah, I'm assuming they're going to put you on the like the little road on the east side or the west side of the place. So
I have no idea. I just got a text from the Corsa boss saying that we're meeting at a Starbucks down the street so we can all roll in together.
Okay.
So yeah, I'll be there and find you.
Perfect. I won't be there, but have fun.
All right, see you guys.
Bye.
You turn the air on a little bit. It's hot as hell.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Yeah, no problem. Hello, who's this?
It's Dave.
What's up, Dave?
Hey, I got two questions for you. One is really fun up on what you said, but I think what upsets people is like the Paul Pelosi, Nancy Pelosi's husband, mm-hmm. got pulled over for the DUI and all that, and crash or whatever, and hurt somebody, and yet there's not a peep of the dash cam video or the police video, but yet Marshawn Lynch gets pulled over, and within like 24 hours, they got the dash cam video out all over the place, but you don't see anything about Paul Pelosi and his dash cam. They haven't even released it.
Right.
So what is the point you're trying to make? Are you trying to say this is a racist deal?
No, not at all.
Okay.
What I'm saying is if even an average person, if you get pulled over, and I don't care who it is, it could be a movie star. But if you get pulled over for a DUI, typically within like 24 hours, they have you've got the dash cam video and all that.
Yeah.
Paul Pelosi being in government,
and very high up in government. She's like third in line to the throne.
Yeah.
You know.
So that's one question. The other one I would talk about is what happened today on the show with I got addicted to that Tourette's woman too.
And you did.
I was watching it, and I can't stop laughing about it, like Bubba. But when she says stuff, you know, like small dick or small penis and all that, I mean, what do you think, like, I mean, does that, she had to have heard that somewhere or experienced something in order for her to blurt stuff like that out.
Yeah, she probably has this thing of, what's it called? The internet.
I mean, obviously she's heard those words before. But sometimes, like, for example, and this happens with most people, but I feel like it's also really prevalent with people who have OCD, which she apparently also had or was taking medication for, is that when you tell someone not to think of the pink elephant in the room, what do you think about? All you can think about is the pink elephant in the room. Like, try to imagine something that's not a pink elephant, and all you can do is think about that. So when people say, you know, you're not supposed to call people bald or call them small dick, little dick, fuck you,
mm-hmm.
all she can think about are the things she's not supposed to say. And truth be told, I don't know much about Tourette's syndrome or, you know, what brain area is affected. I think it's the same area that you can get the trichotillomania, that whole thing. I think it's somewhat related. I remember Regina talking about that. So I think it's this sort of area in the brain that works off impulse and impulse and control. And if it's altered in the way of you having Tourette's syndrome, it seems like you don't have a great impulse control. Some more than others. Like Dan said, he was diagnosed with it as a kid and kind of like muscled it off. But obviously some people, you know, aren't able to do that.
See, I thought about it a different way. I thought it was like maybe she was experienced like sex and the guy had a small dick, and that's all she could think about.
I don't think so. I think it's just things you're not supposed to say.
Yeah.
You know, in day-to-day life. It's not proper etiquette to be at, you know, in Longhorn screaming, you know, small dick, little dick, fat dick, you know,
right,
you're not supposed
right.
to say that stuff.
All right. Anyway, talk to you guys later.
All right, bye. What are you going to say?
Yeah, because some of the things she says, like the high five, that's, you know, like
she's benign.
Right, but it's stuff that like she looks like she's got from like a movie or something. So.
Right, that just kind of replays in her head. And I know for me, like when I was trying to get through or over not just negative thoughts, but repetitive thoughts, which I still have a huge problem with. It's getting a little better, but not much. But when you have thoughts like repeating in your mind, and when you tell yourself not to think of what you're trying to think about, it makes the problem worse.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, what you should really try to do is replace it with a different thought instead of trying to tell yourself not to think
about like
something.
When you're holding a pen or like a gum and you're shooting a gun, they're like, you know, don't shake and hold it steady. And all you can think about is trying to hold it steady. So you're like this.
Yeah.
But if you're like, if you just chill and not think about trying to hold it steady, mm-hmm. you're more likely to hold it steady.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly how it happens. Hello, who's this?
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, Anna, how you doing?
What's up?
Not much. This is Rollo from Michigan. I just have a question for Blitz.
What's
yeah,
up?
Go ahead.
Hey, Blitz, do you shoot pool?
No.
Okay, never mind, because you have a lookalike. Not this Monday, this past Monday, but the one before last, I went to OCC. For the first time, I was in town,
okay.
And there was a guy who looked just like you. I don't know if it was maybe your brother, but he looked just like you. I went up to him, asked him if it was you, and he said, no.
I've never even been to OCC.
Oh, you haven't?
Nope.
Oh, that's a cool place over there. You got a lookalike there. That place cool.
Well, I'll have to go beat his ass.
Okay.
Yeah, I keep meaning to check it out. When they were first building it, I stopped by, but I haven't seen it when it's done or anything.
Okay, they got a lot of cool stuff on Monday nights. I went there, and they had, like, cornhole, they have pool, and then they have foosball. And it's all
sounds like me and Anna will be going next Monday.
I don't think so. Sounds cool.
You should check it out.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you. No, I don't want to. When we were in Daytona, we went to an arcade, and I remember voicing before we went to the arcade, I said something along the lines of, I fucking hate arcades.
Well, so they have like a boardwalk
yeah.
there. It's real shitty. But they've got a boardwalk there. And we stayed like real close to it, like with an easy walking
yeah,
distance.
Yeah, within a mile.
So, yeah. So I said, hey, you know, let's go to the boardwalk. I said, when I was a kid, I went there and they had like an arcade. I said, whatever's still there, we'll like walk through it, whatever, like. And we stayed, well, as we got there, like it started pouring out. So we were kind of forced
to
stay right
there
anyway.
But it was definitely the most action that was in the area, I would say, at that time. Mm-hmm. And I had a fucking blast. Like I was having way too much fun to the point where it was like I didn't want to show how much fun I was having because I had talked so much shit right before.
I know, I could tell.
You know, so I was just like, you're like, do you want to play this? And I'm like, I guess. And then like, as I'm playing, I'm like, oh, yeah. And then I like tried to, you know, downplay
you're,
it. I'm
you're like, tickets. I need more tickets.
Such a loser. I was having so much fucking fun because I'm thinking it's going to be more like video games, but there's a lot of hand-eye coordination
yeah.
involved and ball throwing and catching.
Yeah.
And man, I mean, I really fucking nailed it with the bowling game. I was just bowling yeah. strikes, fake strikes left and right. I realize how much I'm so grateful that I'm not a parent. And maybe it's different when it's like your own. But with other kids, you would think that you would be like more polite or worried about how you conduct business with them because you don't want the parent to come after you for, you know, telling mm-hmm. your kid some. But I mean, there was this one little fucking annoying. I honestly don't even know if it was a girl or boy. Baby, who knows? But we'll just call her she. She came up and she was trying to get my tickets out because she was trying to help me.
Oh, yeah.
But I was in the middle of the game and I didn't want her to press the button that would emit the tickets.
There's some games that are like old school that spit out regular tickets, you know.
Yeah, as the game is
going
on.
And then there's the newer ones. Well, the new ones just put it like on a credit card deal, mm-hmm. like Dave & Buster's. But,
yeah.
you know, the newer ones, when you're done, you press the done button and it prints out a little slip that says, oh, you won, you know, 18 tickets.
Right. And so I'm mid-game. And some little bitch comes up and is like, you have to press just to get tickets out. And
you're
I said, I know. And then I just saw her little grubby little fucking finger like going towards, and I'm literally maybe 30% through the game. And I don't know how this works. Is that going to fuck it up? I don't know. Probably not, but who knows? I didn't want her to mess with it. And so I didn't like hit her, but I swatted her. I said, hey,
yeah,
get out of here.
And Cardi calls it wasn't skee ball. There's actually like a you roll the ball and it's like a bowling game.
Yeah, it wasn't skee ball.
We did play skee ball too.
We did, which was also super fun. And I fucking killed it there. I think I beat you on every game.
No.
I think I did. But it was just super fun. And then I left being damn, shut the fuck up. No, you didn't. you were trying your very hardest, putting your heart and soul into those games, just fucking failing.
I definitely won in the basketball games.
Because you could touch them. You could reach the basket.
Well, no, here's the problem you had, too, is it gives you three balls, and you would take one and then look and then shoot and then wait for it to come down and then grab one, take it, and shoot. And I'm like, no, you just got to grab them and just go like
this. Yeah. I was just getting used to it, okay? I was just getting used to it. But it seemed like a place with a lot of history. It seemed like a place where the people that were working there had been working there since 1975.
They've been there forever.
And their teeth really reflected it because they had taffy as a prize, and I think these people just had a little too much taffy.
They were a couple, right?
Were they? I don't know.
The guy, the old man and the lady?
I have no idea. Possibly.
I think they were, but who knows? And I think they probably own the place or whatever, or they're in charge of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy wasn't really doing a whole lot, and she was getting mad. I remember she even said oh, it'd help if he would do something.
I honestly don't even remember at all. I was too busy looking at the prizes.
She was bitching at him about not doing anything. He was just standing there.
Yeah, just doing jack shit, jack all. But it seems like a place, if you went as a kid, it probably hasn't changed much since then.
Yeah, I mean, there's
some new games and stuff, but for the most part, it just seemed like a historical joint that's been in place for, is at least 30 to 40 years and hasn't changed pretty much at all. I hate saying this because I don't want to sound like a snob, but I found Daytona to be a bit underwhelming.
Yeah.
But the reason why is because in my head, I had hyped it up. The people that I had spoken to had hyped it up. They're like, oh, Daytona's so cool. The beaches are amazing. And I'm thinking amazing, because Clearwater is amazing. So if, they're impressed by Daytona, it must really be next fucking level Caribbean style. No, not even close. Our beaches here on the west side are so much better.
They absolutely are.
So much better. But it was cool. It was good. I definitely felt very good about myself when I was there. definitely a confidence booster.
You got to think, too, we also went in the, one of the first weekends of the off season, kind of.
Sure.
It's still season. The weather's still good for the beach and all that.
Summer.
But everyone has, all the college kids are gone because there's no, they're back in school.
Mm-hmm.
And the families are out to play. And the families, that was the first weekend or two of school. So they're really not spending the time at the beach.
Right.
So there wasn't a whole lot of families there. It wasn't very busy, which was nice.
Yeah. There was a lot of fathers interacting with their children with a bottle in one hand and a cigarette in the other. And I appreciate that. Because they're not going to tone it down because this is bad for little Johnny's lungs. They don't give a fuck.
It was cool to do something different, but it wasn't hey, awesome.
No, but it wasn't what I expected, I think, was really, I was expecting something way different. I thought the beaches were going to be much, longer from, in terms of sand, distance of the sand from the road. I thought that it was just going to, because people were like, oh, you could drive on it, it's like a half a mile long. I'm like, oh, shit, that's different and crazy, and I must see this. And then, we look out our window, which was a beautiful view, and I loved, the location of where we were at, but it just wasn't what I thought it was going to be. And the weather wasn't 100% great,
no,
so there's also that.
Ish.
But novelty counts for something. Doing something new, something different.
Yeah.
I would even suggest that, sometimes it's better to take a cut on the experience in terms of, say, it's like a food or restaurant, if it's like a new experience. So say something like Taco Dirty, which we love and we get all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great, pretty much consistently amazing. We love it. Sometimes it's better to go to a place that isn't as good, but you hadn't been before. So it's just kind of like a new experience. Try something new. Indian, Ethiopian, for example.
I knew where you were going. This whole thing is this big Ethiopian scam.
I want to try it. I want to try it again. I've had it one time in my life when I was in Toronto. And much like you, I was I had low expectations. I said, I'm a vegetarian. And I was... They're like, what are you talking about? I was taken to the place by a bunch of vegans. So I thought, okay, well, I guess they must have some options. It was a very interesting display, and I really enjoyed it more than I thought I would, but I kind of forgot about it. Ethiopian.
Oh, so you're good then.
I want to try it again. I forgot. That was almost a decade ago.
Guess what I had for lunch yesterday?
Indian.
Nope.
Chicken.
Kinda.
What'd you have?
Bingarin.
Yes, there's a cute little joint, family-owned business. Do you ever go by a place and you just go, I wonder what their story is? That is what I think every time I pass Ming Garden. It's, if you are unfamiliar, it's a little Chinese establishment. It looks like shit, and it's right in the middle of a ghetto. And by ghetto, I mean across the street lies a laundromat, a Metro PCS, and a Dollar Tree or Dollar General. What is it?
Family Dollar.
Family. It's something with a dollar in it.
But if you're lucky enough to drive by in the morning like I am, you get to see it's basically a homeless apartment out front.
It really is. People like to have sleepovers there on the bench.
The roof. There's like not the roof of the building, but out front there's like a little bit lower, like overhang.
Like an awning?
And all you see up there is like trash bags that the homeless have thrown. Like, it's literally littered full of trash bags.
Yeah, it's horrendous. It's frightening. It's terrifying. And every time I go by, I just think to myself, what is their story? They probably came to the United States, maybe from China, Vietnam, something like that. And no money, nothing. And they decide to open up shop in the middle of the fucking ghetto, which to them is probably like a fucking garden. A Ming garden, if you will.
You have to think, like, the most places that are not the best in town usually have a Chinese restaurant in them.
And that's because why, Blitz? Why is that the case?
Because
who has a taste for Chinese food that area?
Oh, I wasn't going with that. I was going to say the property is usually less expensive, so that's why they picked that.
That's why. It's about properties, not about people's taste buds and what they prefer. And by the way, who doesn't fucking love Chinese food?
I was going to say that place is busy all the time, by the way.
Yeah, they kill. They're great. But I just want to know, you know, what their story is. Or imagine like...
I will say...
Yeah?
It was better than the place we went to in Daytona.
Really?
It was.
Egg roll wise or?
Both the egg roll and the orange chicken.
They'd fucking kill it. Listen, it's high risk, high reward. These places that offer the best food, it's like you're maybe likely to contract, I don't know, something that will give you diarrhea, but the food is just better. It's just better. It tastes like it's poverty because they're working their way out of poverty by making good food. It matters more.
I don't know. I see their brand new Hondas and stuff and Toyotas they drive out back. They're not doing too bad.
No, but you'd think that maybe, like you said, they could put a little more effort into the place that they work. Like, I don't know, paint it.
Yeah, clean up the trash or that's around front.
Right.
And pick some weeds, maybe.
Yeah, and I understand the weeds will grow back and the homeless will be back, but much like you said before, you know, take some pride in where you work.
Yeah.
You know, you have to do laundry every week. You don't just go, well, I'm just not going to wash it because it's going to get dirty again. You got to fucking wash your shit. You got to keep it clean.
You do?
Yes, you do. 813-90-BUBBA. But,
that's why you go to the laundromat across the street from there.
Exactly. And the Dollar Tree, General, Family Dollar, whatever the case may be. I do want to talk about this. Is it Sana Marin, the prime minister?
Yeah.
There's been an update on the story, and I don't want to jump to any sort of tabloid conclusions. Now, for those that were listening to the show earlier, We found out that a video leaked, which is odd to say that a video leaked because it sounded like it was on her Instagram or on someone's Instagram. Whatever. It probably got taken down because they're like, probably a bad look. And then it resurfaced and people were like, is she on drugs? What's going on? She's dancing very wildly. She's very attractive. Young woman. It's so funny, like, everything's relative, because you talk to people, you know, and I'll say, like, oh, I'm 35, and they're like, oh, that's fucking old, and it's like, oh, yeah, but I'm also the prime minister, and like, oh, so young.
Yeah.
So, thinking about a prime minister of a country, like, the most powerful person in the country that's a year older than me is fucking wild. You know?
I agree.
Now, it is Finland, so it's like, whatever, but
still, it's a real country.
It borders Russia. Like, that's pretty substantial. That's pretty great. You're trying to get into NATO. It's pretty cool. But apparently there's been a video, and I feel like I know what this is without knowing what this is.
Oh, do you? Because I've seen it.
Yes, it's this video of this woman, and apparently she's dancing very intimately with a man at a club. I suspect, I could be wrong.
Let's hear it.
And I haven't read this article at all because I literally just pulled it up. Now, I'm just taking
I just watched the videos.
So. Okay, I'm just taking a guess. Is the guy gay? Do you get that impression?
Because
I haven't even seen it. I don't even know. But I feel like the man might be a homosexual.
It's New York Post, so all I see right now are ads and pop-ups and all that crap. So
I can kind of see it here. Hello.
I mean, are they
bumping and grinding?
Well, she has like her arms around him, and she's like kind of. He looks like he's like kissing her neck, kind of.
Okay. I mean, gay guys can do that too, yeah, but who knows? It's not a good. Oh, I see it now.
Yeah, no, he's got like his arms around her.
Yeah, he doesn't look gay actually at all.
Yeah, it's like it's not even like a club like grinding. It's like a intimate.
Like a not a gala, but like almost like a wedding, like a reception at the end.
Yeah, I mean it's more of a party, but yeah.
Yeah.
But they're like holding each other.
Yeah. It's crazy. I didn't know she was married, number one. So who knows? Maybe it's a cousin. Who knows what the situation will be. Now, I know people like to draw comparisons with extremes, right? They're like, well, our president can't even fucking walk. Like, yeah, no shit. But
and now they're making him wear his aviators everywhere because his eyes are all wonky.
He has fucking detached retinas and you know stage 5 glaucoma.
Yeah,
can't see because the cataracts are too strong. But there's obviously a happy medium. People always like to you know, like Bubba would say, he's like, well, it's better than the. It's like, yeah, sure, it's better than Biden. She's alive and she has a brain that works, but also maybe not the best look to be a statesperson woman. Statesman, whatever they be, whatever the case may be, you kind of want to be taken serious as a representation of an entire country. I think it's important to be taken seriously. And when you're dancing and getting wild, especially in a party scene, like if she was like in a suit and she's in Parliament, kind of like a Rob Ford dancer.
My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get when you're talking through Mint Mobile. I mean, I can't believe that I've been living some other life with all this scratchy mobile when I can get crystal clear and the best mobile through Mint Mobile. And I can do it all for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. I can afford this. How much have I been paying on my other plan? Probably getting gouged. But it's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plan. I mean, I'm talking jaw-dropping monthly bills and unexpected overages. Say goodbye to all that nonsense. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with a premium wireless plan starting at $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/Bubba. That's mintmobile.com/BUBBA. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Bubba. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plans. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Around, that's a little different.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause she knows the camera's on her. She's in somewhat in control. People don't like it when their leaders look like they're not in control. That is alarming in any capacity. Like, Biden doesn't look like he's in control.
No.
Because he's shitting himself and he falls off bikes that aren't moving. That's not good. But also, you don't want to look like you are, you know, going off the rails by maybe snorting rails. Apparently, in the first video that we showed today, obviously they're speaking in Finnish, so it's hard to understand what they're saying. But I guess there was some talk of cocaine in the background.
Well, in this update, it says that she is clearly intoxicated, which, duh. And she danced with at least three men like this and gave lap dances to two other men.
I mean, I haven't seen the lap dances. I don't know.
Which,
but
actually, I think is kind of in her favor in a way. Because if she was intimately dancing with just one guy like the whole night,
yeah,
then like, oh, hey, there's something going on with him.
Right.
Because it was like multiple guys in the club, it's more likely like, hey, she's just drunk and like wanted to have some fun. Like, there's probably nothing more to it.
Right.
It's not a good look.
But also, like, what sort of person who is a prime minister, president, premier, whatever the leader of the country may be, is going... I'm assuming incorrectly, but is going to places in the public without a bunch of security. Like, is she just going to a fucking pub? Like, she got in trouble during coronavirus because I think she went to a pub and someone there was infected with corona and she wasn't quarantining like she should have. So there was some issue with her and she was pulling a Boris Johnson or something. So she got some blowback for that, which is like, whatever, who the fuck cares? But when I see stuff like this, I'm like, how is she going unattended and just acting crazy? And no one is saying, stop, this is a bad idea for, you know, your campaign, your image. But I don't think I would feel, like, I wouldn't want to think that, like, the leader of my country is a drunk bimbo. Like, I wouldn't want, not that, you know, you can, you're dumb if you're going to the club and dancing, having fun, no problem, but you also have to act the part, I think, to some degree, where you look like you're kind of in control. And you don't want to look, you certainly don't want to look like a floozy. You know, women are trying so hard to get into positions of power. And then it's like they do. And then when this sort of stuff goes down, it's like, well, this is exactly why we didn't want it to happen, sort of a deal. So just, again, you're not doing anything wrong. It doesn't sound like she's doing anything illegal, but image matters. Perception matters. That's how you won the race, right? Because people perceived you to be the best possible choice for the job. So image does matter. But, I mean, she seems like she'd be a good time. She seems like a who.
I guess she came out and said that she just took a drug test as well. People wanted her to take drug tests.
Right.
She's taking one to show that she didn't do any drugs.
Right. And also cocaine exits the system quite quickly. So she should be lucky. She should be fine. God bless. God willing. Let's take a little break for editing purposes, and we'll be back just in a few short minutes.
Perfect.
Welcome back.
Bright Farm, Johns Island, 1999. Super chat.
And a bitch ain't one. Thank you for joining us today. We'll probably be taking off pretty soon. I got a lot of stuff to do, and I know you do too, because we got Bubba 199.
I'll be honest. I'm going to try to take a nap today.
Yeah?
I doubt I will, but...
Oh, yeah. This is a power through day for me.
Yeah, I just would love to take like an hour or two. It's nice outside, so I'll be outside for a while.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'm going to start switching up my exercise regimen. It's I do this every couple of years. You know, I get on something and then I go hardcore in the paint with it, much like intermittent fasting, much like my diet, much like everything I do. Mm-hmm. I get on something and then I go, I think I've been doing this all wrong. And then I completely switch it up. And I think that now I've come to the conclusion, and also you have to adjust for, you know, age and injury and stuff like that. But I've come to the conclusion that I think I need to start prioritizing volume over progressive overload. So instead of trying to like go so fucking hard at the gym and get crazy, you know what you've seen me at CrunchFit. It's ridiculous.
But you're never like a heavy weights person.
No, though. No, but I do a lot of volume, you know, to the point, and there's different ways to do that. You could do, you know, more reps, you could do more sets, you could do more weights. You can time under tension, so you could do like a slower rep, which makes it harder.
You prefer that usually?
Yes. I don't, because here's the thing that at least, you know, my philosophy, and I think most people who've lifted weights, is you don't want the weights to control you. You need to control the weights. And sometimes the best part of the actual exercise is the release or something. You know, like if you're doing like a tricep extension sort of deal on a cable machine, mm-hmm. a lot of times people, like, you know, they go down and then they just kind of like whip it back up.
They let the weights pull them up.
Correct. Instead of doing a controlled back to, you know, mm-hmm. the starting position, they just kind of swing it back. It's like, well, that's actually probably like the best part of the exercise, is the slow control back to mm-hmm. the original starting position. So, you know, I incorporate all these things, but I'm like, fuck, sometimes I get the Dodds so bad that I can't train for a few days or, you know, and then I'm kind of just left doing walks, which there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, maybe I want to get in the gym a little more. So I started doing not some research, but you listen to the experts talk about things and you go, OK, well, maybe I've been prioritizing the wrong things. And also I need to take in consideration, you know, my advanced age, which, you know, it is what it is. I'm not getting any younger. My joints probably aren't getting any better if I start treating them the way that I did, you know, in my early 20s. Recovering takes a little bit longer. And people listening, probably most of you are older than 35, so you're like, fuck off. You have no idea what's coming. You're right, I don't. But, mm-hmm. you know, compared to how things used to be, and here's the thing, because I really haven't had like a point in my life where I really fell off like my fitness workout lifestyle routine. Like there's been, the longest I ever took off of exercise was about a month, and that's because I had a fucking injury. I had a Achilles tendonitis, and it was really fucking bad to the point where I was told by a friend who was in the medical field, he was like, if you keep fucking with that, it's gonna rupture and then you're gonna need surgery. So, and I was like, okay, so everything I knew how to do, how to exercise, I couldn't do. You know, I couldn't run. I could barely walk. I couldn't even fucking swim because just the flip-floppy of the feet, it would irritate it.
Yeah.
So I couldn't do anything. And then that's when I started doing the yoga. And I did yoga for like 9 months straight, and just straight Bikram hot yoga. You're in a room.
I didn't know you did that.
Yes. I think I talk about it a lot. Oh, are you making? I wasn't sure if you're serious.
I didn't know it was like a real thing.
Yeah. I did Bikram for about 9 months straight. No running, no gym, no fucking nothing.
I didn't know that actually.
Yeah. And it was amazing and horrible at the same time.
Because
if you've never done Bikram, boy, are you in for a treat, because it's fucking hard. And I think the thing that scared me the most about Bikram that I had not experienced with other forms of exercise was the fact that my heart rate was getting so fucking high and I wasn't moving. Because usually, which is weird, like if you're moving around and your heart's like going crazy, you can't really feel it as much as if you're just standing still.
Right.
Like if you start sprinting, right, and then imagine you then stand still and you can feel your heart, mm-hmm. it's a little jarring. And that's exactly what it was, is like you're doing all these poses, you're not fucking moving your feet one iota, but your heart rate is just going through the fucking roof, and you can feel it and you can hear it in your ears. And it I don't want to say it freaked me out, but it was just like, am I going to just pass that? And it's really hot. So it was very challenging, and I did it every day for like 9 months. And then finally, you know, my foot was getting a little bit better, and I was walking more and a little bit of running. You know, I was doing it smart for the first time in my life. I wasn't just getting, oh, now I'm going to run 6 miles. And I just woke up one day and I said, I think I I hate this. I hate it. And I called the place and I said I'd like to cancel my membership, and I never went back again. But it served its purpose. My foot healed and I stayed in shape. Like, those were the two goals. So it was like, I didn't lose it. I didn't lose the gains. I found another avenue to kind of stay on top of it. But I also healed my foot, which it gives me zero problems to this day. Well, my Achilles, rather. Mm-hmm. So great. Loved it. I also want to thank, and he's not listening, but, you know, Rollo Tomasi for coming on. It was a little bit difficult, you know, following Lummy's catch of Brett Favre.
Yeah.
And so obviously it wasn't that big of a guess, but Rollo is very big in his sphere, and I was excited to have him on because I've been overdosing on manosphere type stuff, where I think
I can't watch that.
It's starting to fuck with me to the point where I'm becoming like hyper aware of things that I already knew, but now it's like making me anxious about certain things, and I'm like, oh, why am I doing this? Mm-hmm. But again, I like the evolutionary psychology aspects of it. You guys know I love talking about biology, evolutionary psychology, dating, mating, short-term, long-term, like all these sorts of strategies I like learning about.
See, I think that stuff like that is like good to know and good to brush up on. But like, if you're always watching it, it fucks with your head. Like,
how does it fuck with your head?
It just, like, it's that kind of shit's not good. Like, because it's really not the norm.
What do you mean not the norm? Like, because they talk about situations that are like extremes, right? So they talk about the girls who are like the tens, and they talk about the guys that are the G's and can fucking and have the best game and have all the money. It's like most of people are not those people. So it's kind of hard to relate because they're always talking about like being the best man, being the G, being in the people mm-hmm. that they bring on. Typically are giving advice for how to become that archetype of guy, because it's geared towards men. And, you know, and I mentioned this a couple weeks ago with the, you know, the Fresh and Fit podcast, and the women that they bring on is just they're mind-blowingly stupid, which I enjoy watching, but also it makes me angry, but I also enjoy being angry. Like, I've said this before, being angry and like screaming at a screen, it like gives me energy. I like it. But it can be a bit, you know, here's the thing. It's like, I've known since I was fucking 18 years old that being a young woman is yields a lot of power, especially young, attractive woman. Because mm-hmm. when they say young women, it's like there's also a lot of young women that are ugly as fuck. Like, you could be 21, young, and also ugly. Those things can coexist. But, you know, when they talk about beauty and desire and things like that, obviously they're always talking about, you know, being a young woman, and they, it seems like that sphere of influence is kind of not pressuring, but advising women to like get into a relationship as early as fucking possible, because that's when you're the hottest and you yield the most power. So it seems like they are advising, loosely advising women to, hey, you're 19 years old, start looking for your husband right now. Mm-hmm. Which, okay, yeah, I get that from like a biological standpoint, but I feel like there's also a lot of things that they're missing. First off, there's a lot of people like me that, you know, were kind of late bloomers. So it's like, dude, by the time I started having sex, according to these people, I was way past my prime. You know what I mean? So that's a little sad and frightening. I'm like, what, did I miss out on my best years? But no, it's like, you got to just kind of stay true to mm-hmm. who you are, how you were raised, and what you feel comfortable doing. But, and also, it's not every woman's goal to have a family with children. And, you know, for most women, I would say that's probably what they want. I think that there's a biological drive for that, but there's also a variety and there's also range. And I feel like, at least for myself, I mean, I know that I would be a good parent if I was, you know, forced into that position. I wouldn't allow myself to be a bad parent, but I don't know if that would allow me to extract the most happiness. And it's really hard to get an honest read from people, because no one feels comfortable saying, I had kids and I regret it. And I feel like at some point you just love the life that you're given because you know nothing else, right? So if you have a child at 20 or 21 and you go, oh, this is the best decision ever. I'm so glad I had kids. It's like, yeah, well, you didn't know anything different. You have nothing to compare it to. Mm-hmm. You didn't live, you didn't go to college or you didn't go traveling or do other things. So I do think that a lot of what the manosphere is missing is the overlap between what humans need. Right. So it's like they talk so much about, they're so micro focused in on the differences between men and women. And there are differences. I'm not denying that they're not. But there's also a lot of overlap. We're more alike than we are different in the sense that, like, we get angry. We need food. We shit. We like all of those. We have jealousy. We have anger, shame, guilt, like all of these emotions and experiences, like men and women and everything in between can relate to. And like, how do you satisfy those needs beyond just that of reproduction? Now, I understand that reproduction is certainly the goal, but then you also have things like culture kind of getting in the way where, you know, you are just taught that, you know, your career is the most important thing and college is the most important thing. And so you just value what your culture values. And sometimes that can be a good thing, but sometimes it can lead you into a situation where I know a lot of women my age are in where they're in their 30s and they were so hyper-focused on their career and they're like, holy shit, fuck, I'm 35, 36, mm-hmm. I don't even have a man and I want kids, what am I going to do? And truth be told, she's not listening, but I think that happened to my eldest cousin who became a nurse and prioritized. Well, here's the thing. That's actually not true. She tried with men, but the relationships just kept failing because I feel like she doesn't know how to pick guys. Here's the thing. She doesn't even have like a type. It seems like she's just throwing everything against the wall and whatever sticks she dates. Okay. And then that is not maybe not the best vetting process. Like,
yeah, no.
Yeah, I think she one time, like, she went from dating like a nice Christian boy to a nice Jewish boy to another nice Jewish boy to a Nigerian scammer. Like, there's like these weird to okay. like it, or this Indian guy. Like, it was just so random. Like, she's on J-Date and then she's dating like a Punjabi dude. I'm
looks
like,
what aren't everything?
No, I'm not saying they were ugly or not, but it just seems like, yeah. Oh, you're right. I forgot the reference. I remember now. We'll get into that in a second. But she's had like really, really bad luck when it comes to men, to the point where I think this was like 4 or 5 years ago. She was, maybe even less. She was taken on a very nice vacation where she assumed the man that she was with was going to propose.
Oh.
But instead, he broke up with her.
On the vacation?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
On the vacation, like they were, I don't know if they were in like Tahoe. I feel like they were somewhere on the West Coast with mountains. I forget exactly. Maybe Big Bear. I can't remember. But they went on a very nice vacation. And on the vacation, he broke up with her, which for being a Jewish doctor, lawyer, or accountant, he was one of those things I can't remember. Not the move. Maybe not on vacation, because guess where, you know, you probably went in one car or on a plane. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you can just fucking leave. And it's going to be really awkward, you know, the next 3 nights in the hotel when you're no longer together, but you have to share a king bed. So that was a little bit odd.
Or a queen bed that's half the size of a queen bed.
It was really a full full and a half, which we'll get into. So I feel really bad for my cousin, but it's on top of that, I feel like, and again, I'm giving you guys the inside Iggy on my family because I love drama from about, you know, 3 to 5 paces away from me, just close enough to kind of feel the heat, but not really. So apparently her, you know, her younger brother is also my cousin. He kind of got everything she wanted. He got the girl. They have a beautiful family. They had their first 2 years ago. She's pregnant. She's about to give birth in November to their second. one boy, one girl sort of deal. They just bought a house. They just closed on a house. They're moving in October. I talked to my cousin yesterday, and he's having a great life. He got a fucking amazing job with a ginormous company. And he's killing it, and he's having a great time, and he just got the white picket fenced family life that his older sister always wanted. Mm-hmm. And I think, and I don't know if this was ever actually admitted by her, but it's speculated in the family because the older sister was giving, you know, his wife some grief about some stuff. Mm-hmm. And my cousin, the male cousin, was like, hey, sis, fuck off. Like, this is my wife. This is my family. You can't be just a jealous bitch because we got what you wanted. We just need you to be supportive. So that's kind of been what's going on. And my cousin, the oldest girl cousin, we'll call her Jessica. Jessica is still planning on having children. She talks about having kids.
How old is she? Ish?
41.
Okay.
Or 42. So, you know, and she was talking about having kids. I mean, I saw her a couple of years ago, and she was like, yeah, you know, like, I'm like, are you seeing anybody? No. You know, she was like 30, maybe 36, 37 the last time I saw her. And, you know, she was very much all about having children. And even then I was like, I just don't know if that's in the cards for you. But that's really quite tragic that happens to some people. And for her, I would say it's not for lack of trying. It's not like she was so career oriented. She didn't date or anything, but I just feel like, you know, there's also a factor of luck that people seem to, mm-hmm. that don't talk about, you know, you ask people, well, how'd you meet? Forget about like, say like pre-online or even online, you know, if you accidentally swiped left or, you know, they were dating somebody else at the time. Whatever the case may be, you went to that one party when you were in college and you had a friend of a friend that set you up with this guy. So there's a huge luck factor that people don't really discuss. It seems like it's always your will or you did something wrong or why are you single? It's like, at least for most of my adult life, I was single. And when people would ask me that, I'm like, dude, why is anyone single? I don't know. It's a combination of bad luck. It's the options that are presented. I'm not interested, whatever the case may be. So I just think that, and with my girlfriends that are single now that are about my age, one of them broke up with her boyfriend like maybe about 8 months ago or something like that. And she calls me and she was crying and stuff. And I'm telling her the fucking truth. I was like, you'll probably meet somebody. But like, I was like, dude, I don't want to lie to you. Like, you may not. Like, mm-hmm. She's like, and she's fucking a down ass bitch. So she was like, I fucking appreciate the honesty. Cause I want people much like you, which is something that I appreciate about you. Like when you don't like courtesy laugh, you don't say something to make someone feel better unless, you know, you have to save your job. But for the most part, you're very honest about things so that when you give me a compliment or when you say something to me, I know it's the truth. Like mm-hmm. when you try some of my like baking shit, like this isn't very, I didn't like it or what, you'll tell me if you don't. And I'm like, I fucking appreciate that.
If I say
that.
I like it, it's because I like it. And if I don't, I will tell you, I don't like this one.
Yeah, I don't like this one. Okay, great. Because then I can actually make adjustments or change or whatever the case may be. So with my friends, my good girlfriends, not acquaintances, with acquaintances, I will happily lie and just say whatever I fucking need to say just to keep you off my back. But with my good friends, you know, and she was lamenting to me about dating and stuff. And I'm like, you probably will find somebody, but like you could also fucking not. I don't want to lie to you. Like that's it. Like if you were to go in your room and close the door and not leave ever again and not reach out to anybody, you would 100% not find anybody. You know, so that's a possibility if you choose to go a route where you just kind of give up on love or your love life or connection or whatever. But I was like, you'll probably find something because she's a go-getter. You know, she tries with stuff. She at least gives herself an excuse to complain about it.
Okay.
Which I appreciate. Because like people who are like, dating sucks. It's like, well, do you go on dates? It's like, well, no. It's like, well, then you don't have room to complain. You know, you're not trying. You needed to be doing fucking everything you can do to get to your goal. And maybe that's not dating. Maybe that's a job or whatever. But Yeah, I do feel I'm actually very glad that I wasn't like a model or a woman who was on OnlyFans or got attention exclusively from how I looked.
Right.
Because again, we all, you know, we all idolize models and their beauty and everything like that. But they get older, and then once they hit a certain age, if all of their value and self-worth is invested into how they look, which women already are hyper-focused on how they look, mm-hmm. but if you're a model and that's like your fucking career and what you're known for and how what everybody loves about you, if that's when that's taken away from you, and it will be at some point, like, what the fuck is left? Like, who are you? What do you have to offer? So I'm kind of glad that I was like, an ugly kid. I think that kept me grounded. I'm glad that, you know, I would say that my looks throughout my life haven't hurt me, but I was never like the hottest chick in the room or something like that. And that's okay. And that allowed me to kind of get a personality, mm-hmm. try to be smart, try to bring other things to the table besides, you know, just the hot chick that all she literally needs to do is just be hot and be. She doesn't even have to be like tolerable, but just if she is, that's like a plus, obviously. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I've been listening to too much Manosphere stuff. I'm trying to take a step back. And then that's when I shifted gears yesterday. I'm like, all right, let's talk about progressive overload versus volume.
Okay.
That's good. What sort of things have you been delving into? Because I know you have a lot of interests.
Actually, lately it's been like advanced computer networking.
Oh my god, that's so interesting. Let's talk about it.
And just different video, a lot of video stuff lately too.
Okay.
Like cinema video stuff.
Like how to produce it or
yeah.
Oh, okay, the behind the scenes sort of
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. Technical stuff.
Interesting. And that really interests you.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah, me not at all. I've been somebody in chat. I'm not quite sure who it was. Suggested I listen to a man. I wrote his name down because I always fuck it up. Hotep Jesus. Have you heard of this person?
No.
Someone was like, "Got to check out Hotep Jesus or Jesus." I don't even know. So I said, "All right, I'll check it out." And of course, the first thing that pops up is a bunch of Rogan clips because he was on Rogan a couple of years ago. And I just love people who are just. I mean, he's very bright. Definitely says a lot of things that aren't very popular. I think he's a black guy from New York, and he claims that the African slave trade never happened.
Hmm.
And I went, huh, okay, proceed. You know, and it's hard to, I mean, he's black, so he obviously, if a white guy was saying the African slave trade never happened, then we would probably have some issues. But Rogan, you know, was able to navigate it. Like, are you sure? He was just saying that, you know, essentially black people were already here. I'd never heard anybody make these claims. And then when asked to, you know, give resources, a lot of what he said was, this is just common sense. Like, he was like, why would you go all the way to Africa when you got people here? And as far as I understand American history, I think there were people here, and they didn't really react well to the white man's diseases, is what I thought. I thought that there were natives, and that I need to stop saying we when I start talking
they
about white people. That came much later, actually. That was after that was during Andrew Jackson's era, and the country was already established. I'm talking about like the pilgrims and shit. Mm. You know, they tried to take over, but it's hard to turn a group of people into slaves when they are dying from your diseases that you're infecting them with. And then that's at least, and please assist me if I'm wrong, chat. I know you do. I think that's when we said, I need to stop saying we. I have nothing to do with this. That's when the people, the white people here, decided that, hey, maybe we should resource people from Africa. Now, this Hotep Jesus guy says that the black people were already here. I was like, I didn't know that, and I didn't think that they were. But he's like, why would you go to Africa, bring people over knowing half of them were going to die? It's like, okay, fair point, but also those black people, they had babies.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like you were just bringing a group of people and they were going to die. You bring a bunch of people, and then you force them to breed, with their kind. Mm-hmm. These are all quotes, obviously. And then you have a resurgence, or not a limitless, but a replenishable source of slaves that can work with you, and they're easy to identify because they're a different color and all that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So, but he claims no. And then he backtracked a little bit. He's like, well, maybe a few people popped over. But it is true, and I did find this out, not from him or anything, but years prior, that 96% of the people, that the black people that were taken from Africa on the African slave trade to the Americas, only 4% of them ended up in North America. So 96% of them ended up in, I think, mostly South America and the Caribbean. So, yeah, I mean, that's not to take away from the fact that America had a horrible history with slavery. Yeah. But just to show that I wonder what the case is like with, I don't know anything really much about, say, Brazil, right? I know that there's a lot of Afro-Latinx people in South America.
I was talking to a guy from Brazil yesterday.
Was he black?
No.
Okay.
He was at Walmart.
Okay, nice. Did he know Brazilian jiu-jitsu?
I would assume so.
Of course, everyone
he's from
does.
Brazil.
It's pretty much just PE over there. So I wonder how black people over there feel in terms of the history, right? Like, do they feel oppressed? Did they have...
Are they considered African-American?
I would say probably not. I know that Bubba thinks every black person, even if they're from Africa and they never left, they are also African-American.
Well, it's funny because, like, that's... You know, you're kind of taught here that, like, you can't say anything else. You have to say African American. It's like, okay, but
yeah.
But that's not the case elsewhere,
right? And also, I think that there's a large group of African Americans, like Morgan Freeman said, who he's like, I have nothing to do with Africa.
Right.
He's like, I'm black. Call me black. Like, completely separate culture. Like, if you were to take a black person from the Bronx and put them in Zimbabwe or Zambia or Angola, and you're like, go ahead, they wouldn't just be absorbed. They'd be like, I'm fucking American. Like, this is not my culture at all. Just because we share a similar skin color. If you put me back in Israel, I'm not going to know how to conduct myself. I'm not Israeli culturally at all. And maybe a few mannerisms because my father and mother lived there a long time and passed that down to me. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I mean, I am America is all I know. Despite what people say on this show, I'm a red-blooded American. God damn it. I am. So interesting stuff that this Hotep Jesus guy said. But again, I love someone who says, oh, history's all fucking wrong. You don't know shit. I want to give that person a voice. I think that person deserves a voice. I want to hear what they have to say. And I just love a good contrarian, you know, and that's why I've been listening to a lot of the Andrew Tates, the Rollo Tomasi's. I like people that like to stir shit up mm-hmm. and piss people off because it's, you know, they're uncouth and they're brave, but also they're not brave because that's how you get attention and that's how you get people talking about you, is you start irritating them. And then that brings more attention to that person and it kind of just grows their brand more. But anywho, that should be enough for today. We've given you a cool
not
hour
for today.
Enough for this show, an hour and 15 minutes, because we have Bubba 199 tonight. It's going to be very fun. I hope that you guys can join us.
Are you going to eat here?
I may eat here. I'm not quite sure what the plan is. I got some things I need to take care of for tonight's festivities. So,
oh, that's right.
Yeah, so I got to kind of run home and just get this, get the things underway. I don't want to give anything away. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a surprise, kind of not, but whatever. You know, maybe we have some important people who had birthdays and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and they need to be celebrated because they do a lot for us.
You're busy making a hot air balloon.
I am. That's true. That's a fact. Not fake news whatsoever. But that's all I got for you today. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Blitz, thank you for everything
as
always. And we will catch you tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern.
On Twitch only.
On Twitch only.
Well, it'll be on BAR as well. But
at Twitch. The Bubba Army. Most of you already know, and we'll see you there. But if we don't see you there, we'll see you on Monday morning. Have a great weekend. We'll see you. Goodbye.